This episode of Fermented Adventure the Podcast is sponsored by Brewskits, handcrafted dog treats made from spent beer grains, oats, barley, and rye. No chemical preservatives, a great source of fiber, and packed with protein. Visit brewskits.com to see the full selection of treats for your dog and your cat. Receive 15% off, no minimum purchase, on your first order by typing in lowercase FA2024 at checkout. Cheers! Hello, ladies and gentlemen, craft spirit enthusiasts, and those interested in the intoxicating world of craft distilleries, cideries, meaderies, wineries, and the occasional foray into breweries. It's Rich Shane, and welcome to Fermented Adventure, the podcast, where we bring you the fascinating people that are making the mash, fermenting, distilling, bottling, pouring, and delivering to you some of the finest libations in the world. Before we get started, here are a few housekeeping items. Thank you for bringing the podcast into wherever you are and whatever you're doing. We truly are grateful that you have chosen to listen and make us part of your day. It would mean the world to us if you left a 5-star review. This helps us climb in the rankings, and it makes it easier for others to find us. Don't hesitate to leave us your comments as well. If the podcast didn't meet your expectations, tell us why. We're always striving to improve. You can find us at fermentedadventure.com. We are on Instagram and Facebook as Fermented Adventure. Email us at fermentedadventure@gmail.com. All right, FA Nation, let's meet our guests. She's Judy Elahe. I'm Rich Shane. This is Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Judy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, all right. I saw you. You were featured in Chilled Magazine's 5 Things with Bar Director Judy Elahe. And I said, this from the way the article was written, I said, I would love to have some time to speak with you on the podcast, learn more about you, introduce you to our listeners. You are the owner of Fresh Pressed Beverage. How did all that get started for you?
All of that got started because, you know, it started in the middle of COVID, where I wanted to continue to show people what I do on a daily basis, but in their own homes or at their businesses. And I wanted to help restaurants with cocktail development, bar organization, and really just showcasing what I do on a daily basis. So that's how it started. Right now, I focus on private and corporate events, restaurant and bar consulting, and then non-alcoholic development, whether that be with cold pressed juices, coffee, tea, water, you name it. It's all kind of my thing.
Well, we missed it, but Mindful Drinking Fest, we missed it. That was a couple of weeks ago in DC. I was thinking, this looks like, especially for dry January, this looks like so much fun. Talk about this Mindful Drinking Fest.
So Mindful Drinking Fest is the biggest non-alcoholic festival in the country. And what I like about it is it promotes mindful drinking. So it's not saying, hey, don't ever drink. It's saying, you know what? If you don't feel like you want to have a second drink, how about you be more mindful about it and do a non-alcoholic drink, or realize that there's other options in making you feel the way that you feel, like after, you know, instead of having a cocktail, you could have something with CBD that calms you down, but doesn't give you the hangover. So this was the second time that I had participated in it. I was on a panel and I worked with Boisson and Bowls. What I like about it is, I think the first, last year when I did it, you know, at a certain part of the night, as a mixologist, you're ready. Like, your brain kind of gets trained to deal with drunk people. Like, it just automatically plops in. You're like, doom, doom. That's like when people are going to start acting weird. They're going to be saying weird things to you. Someone's going to fall. And it was so funny because I kept waiting for that drop. And, you know, it never happened. And I was like, oh, this is actually really enjoyable. And, you know, what I like about it is how much the space is growing. And another part of mindful mixology is like being mindful that some people have like never even had a drink in their lives, but they want to be a part of this, right? So if I'm telling them to taste a non-alcoholic rum, they're going to look at me like I'm crazy because they've never tried rum. They don't get it. And it's about making mindful options for everyone. So somebody who wants to have two martinis instead of three, and their third one, they're having a non-alcoholic one. So that's what I really like about it, and meeting like-minded individuals and people who have just fully abstained for it for whatever reason, and making a safe space. So that's what I really like about mindful mixology. It's a 3-day event. The first day was like bar hopping, and then the last 2 days were tastings and panels throughout the day with some sort of like physical activity in the morning. And then at night, on Saturday night, there was like a disco Mary rave. So Maria Bastash, who is also a part owner of Mindful Mixology, she has her own collective called Disco Mary because she abstains from alcohol at times. Sometimes she'll have wine, but she wanted to be somewhere where she could go to a party and not feel like she had to drink. So I think it's, if you work in the alcohol space, appreciating the spirits, but then also realizing that non-alcoholic is a growing market. And our younger generation has seen the effects of what alcohol does for them mentally and physically, and they are not drinking it as much. So we all have to hop on the bandwagon sometime.
With what we do with Fermented Adventure and our enjoyment, our enthusiasm of speaking with bartenders, with mixologists, because it's a busy Saturday night and we don't get to have this in-depth behind the bar conversation to hear what these bartenders are thinking, what they're experiencing, what their take on the bar and beverage industry is now. And to your point, coming out of Dry January and the continued advancements with these non-alcoholic or low ABV spirits. And I think what really in my head I picture is the fact that what is being created now is more of an inclusivity, where is it really about? So I can say for me, I love the taste and the complexity of a cocktail, a well-made cocktail, the classic cocktails, new cocktails. But there becomes a time when it really is, I just like being out and being social, and I don't want to have the effects of the alcohol. And as you said, look, I can go out and have two, and then there's still those two more on the menu that are really exciting me because I really want to try them. But it's about that time where I have to stop and say, I don't want to be that guy that falls down that you mentioned. So how do I continue to keep the party going or enjoy the companionship of my friends without becoming, too far over where I can't function the rest of the night or the next day?
Yeah, and I posted on this just to like, because I'm continuing to advocate for this, even though I still drink spirits. Like how many times have you been at a bar and you've been like, ah, I don't want to leave, but I don't want to sit here and not have a cocktail. So I think it's a smart decision, not only for the guests that we're serving, not only for the bartenders, but also for the bottom line. And the reason for that being is you're inherently, if it's 100% of the people in the world, right? And let's say 65% of them drink, 35% of them don't. You are allowing 35% more clients to come into your space. And but people like bars for the ambiance and the welcoming and the joy and the community aspect that is so prevalent in bar service. So I just think we got to continue growing this.
Brewskits, beer, grain, dog bones, brewskits. Your dog will go wild. Brewskits, beer, grain, dog bones, a healthy alternative for your pup.
Brewskits are all natural and made in the USA. Visit brewskit.com. That's BREWSCUID.com.
Judy, how did you find your way into the bar scene, the being a bartender? What's your origin story?
Actually, what's funny is I was looking at Facebook and I had like my first photo I ever posted when I was 17. And it was behind a friend of a friend's parents' bar, and I'm just holding a bottle. And I didn't think about it at the time, but then I worked in restaurants. And of course I was a good server, but I was also, I had that culinary background from high school where I actually got a full culinary scholarship to Johnson and Wales. I was really into cooking, talking with my hands and what I produced. And so I always knew that I'd be a bartender. I was like the server that was too fast, you know, like I just whipped circles around everyone. They're like, you got to calm down. So
Don't make us look bad, Judy.
I actually ended up bartending prior to me being 21, which, you know, I felt like a rebel. And I worked at Chevy's Fresh Mex, but this was like back in the day when everyone loved Chevy's and, you know, it was fresh food, decent cocktails at the time. But I remember my first bar shift on a Saturday morning. There was probably four people at the bar. I was so overwhelmed. I was cutting limes, chopping them up. And I just remember seeing a lime fly up, hit the back bar, like at the highest shelf, hit the highest bottle and fall there. And I was like, I'm not worried about it. A week later, the head bartender is cleaning up there. He's like, how the heck did a lime get up here? And I was like, I don't know. Must have been you. He's like, it was obviously you. But so I was there for a few weeks, a few months actually. And then I wanted more high volume. So I went from an 8-seat bar to a 45-seat bar, 10 tables in a nightclub setting where I would sell anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000 a night on a Friday and Saturday night. And that gave me that high volume. And then, you know, for the next few years, I just was working in bars. And then I was like, I kind of want to do my own thing. And I started juicing. And then I found True Food Kitchen, which is been one of the places that I love and adore so much for my career, because it gave me all the tools that I needed to become the corporate leader that I am to this day. I'm a nerd. Like in my closet, I have every single training manual I've ever had, like even back to Chevy's times, just because I knew that if I kept that information, I would be able to grow and learn. And, you know, for many years, especially being a woman, you know, I worked under men who would not consider me, not take my feedback, not care about what I did. You know, I was told I needed to wear more makeup, all this stuff. And so when I became a leader, I knew that I didn't want to be that. So, you know, at Gravitas, at our Michelin starred restaurant that I was just recently working at, I made sure that every single bartender was able to submit cocktails, was able to submit their ideas to me, because for me, it's like, it's 2024 and people can get a job anywhere nowadays. And if you don't give them the hospitality that you want to give your guest, you're never going to have a great team. And it's about being, allowing diversity, equality, and inclusion in every single thing that you do is what you need to do now in 2024. And there's no way around it. And that's kind of, I know that I kind of went on a tangent, but
no, because what it does is it really synthesizes your experience and what you saw from the beginning to where you're making an impact in the bartending world now. You're making fresh pressed juices. You're leading that because of where the consumer is. But not only that, I think the industry has a part in to the idea that if we build this in a way, people will come. And when you look at, you know, things like the cocktail scene in the cocktail world, we get introduced to something and we're like going to the next bar going, do you have, you know, are your juices fresh pressed or are you buying frozen mix or something? And inevitably, what I try to avoid when I'm, you know, enjoying cocktails is, yes, there is a sugar component, there is a sweetener component, but how can I enjoy a cocktail that isn't oversweetened? Let's say some of these fresh juices or frozen juices may have corn syrup in them or other sugar components that really masks sometimes and or takes away the really enjoyment of a cocktail. So I think that's where you didn't go anywhere. You just put it all together.
Yeah. And, you know, I think like I've actually started to challenge myself to not use any added sugar. And one of the easiest things you can do, let's say at this time of the year, you know, in the winter, is just get some fresh cranberries and soak them in some hot water and let it kind of hang out for about 45 minutes, strain it. And then you use that as a modifier in your cocktail. And there's a sweetness, there's acid. And then also like I add a lot of salts, like mostly Himalayan pink salt is like my secret ingredient to everything, and I think there's so many different ways to impart flavor. And for a while, I was so focused on fresh pressed beverages. I think being Iranian American, half and half, Iranian food is very fresh. So my whole life, I like, we're chopping everything, we're eating raw onions. It's something that I've always had in my life. And so, but now I've figured out ways to utilize those fresh ingredients, but in a way that is sustainable for businesses. Because, I mean, cold pressed juice is great and I love it. But operationally speaking, if you don't sell all of it, it's a pit. It's a money pit. So, a friend of mine, him and I have collaborated and started making products that are shelf stable. They need to still be chilled, but they are 40 to 60% juice, and then you can use them at your bars.
And how do people find these beverages, these fresh pressed juices? Where can they find them?
Honestly, right now it's mostly online. I'm doing my recipes online, and then they can always contact me and I can ship them things, and also create recipes for them if they juice at home. I've been juicing for probably around 12 years. So I've juiced it all, done it all, done every certain type of juicer, and I know really what is the best, for people. And also, like, even if it's a smoothie, I'm also getting into that as well because I think there's different benefits when you add the fiber into things. So they can always reach out online at freshpressbev.com or on my Instagram at underscore freshpress underscore.
And what are some of the expressions of fresh pressed juice that they can find and get excited about ordering?
Honestly, one of my favorites that I make is called Pick Me Up. It's a blend of golden beet, apple, lemon, turmeric, ginger, pineapple, and that is just sea buckthorn is also in there. So sea buckthorn is one of the highest antioxidant rich berries in the world. And that is, I had a friend who drank it once and was like, he was a head brewer at a brewery, and he was like, every time I drink this, I feel like I just ran a mile. I've been testing out a few new ones. Another one of my favorites that I also use for cocktails is called Violeta. So it's a blend of red cabbage, pear, lemon, and ginger. And then I just mix that with some mezcal, a little bit of scotch, a little bit of chinar. And it's absolutely phenomenal.
Pardon the interruption. Thank you so much for listening to Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Could you do us a favor? Hit that follow button. It makes it easier for others to find us, and it helps us climb in the rankings. Take a screenshot of the podcast, post it, tag us, and let everyone know that you listen to the Fermented Adventure podcast. Now, back to our podcast. I'm salivating. And I'm thinking to myself, we do tastings on the podcast. We need to have you back or come to see you at wherever you're going to be that has these wonderful, it's not just like people think fresh pressed beverage. And I think a lot of times they're thinking, all right, you throw some carrot in with some apple or ginger. But what you described is a whole nother level.
Yeah, and it's a cocktail in itself, right? And it is a, it's like a, I feel like everything in life is formulas. And you know this being a chef, like the way we sit is a formula of the angle and how our legs and arms are. Like, and how I juice and how I make cocktails is also a formula. And, it's really fun. And if you think about it and you're juicing at your house, you have to think of it like, depending on what juicer you have, it's like how you would chew something, right? Kind of funny, but you're not going to just chew all of the same texture of something. So it's kind of technical, but like I'll always mix my hard fruit with my soft fruit so they are pressed and extracted at the right velocity in a sense.
No, that makes sense because a lot of times you can throw everything in, and if things don't work together in harmony, you don't get the same. I think it's more about the texture, right? you've seen something that has been too thick, too thin, and you've, like you said, you've been doing this for 12 years. You've really dialed this in to know how the different consistencies of those fruits or vegetables or whatever you're putting in is going to work and come out to make that end product.
Yeah. And it's always like, a lot of people have asked me, how did you get here? And I was like, I got here from making really bad drinks. Like you're never going to learn how you like something unless you keep trying at it. My first, at Chevy's that I told you all about, I had my boyfriend at the time sit me down and was like, look, your cocktails are pretty, but they taste like cough syrup. And ever since then, I was like, okay, I got to figure this out. And I have to figure out a style that works for me, right? It was up until probably 4 years ago that I never really made something based off of a classic, or that was what my ego told me. But now I'm like, how about we make it a little easier for ourselves? Let's go with the classics, learn more of the classics, which I think was what was holding me back, and then just start to learn and grow.
Do you have a favorite classic or one of those that you say, you know, if I go to a bar and I want a classic, this is what I may order?
A Naked and Famous.
A Naked and Famous. Okay, what is in a Naked and Famous? Because I have not had one of those.
So a Naked and Famous is mezcal, a little bit of lime, yellow chartreuse, sugar, and I think that's it, and lemon.
All right. That's going to be on our cocktail menu. I'll look that up. That we'll have that this Friday or something like that. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's really delicious.
You mentioned being Iranian, and I never thought of eating a raw onion before, so thank you. I'm going to try that. But are there flavors, are there textures, are there things that you bring from, you know, your palate upbringing into your cocktails or your fresh pressed juices?
Yes. I mean, you know, a lot of the things that I like to add that are like my secret ingredients is black cardamom. Like black cardamom is something that is phenomenal. It's not as vegetal and bright as green cardamom. It's kind of like a nutty, dark, toasted cardamom. I love to use star anise, saffron. I mean, one of my favorite non-alcoholic cocktails is super easy. And actually, sometimes it uses non-alcoholic spirit, but sometimes it doesn't, because like my Iranian aunt is not going to want to taste the non-alcoholic spirit like we've spoke about in the past. But it's just pink salt, lime juice, and then a saffron syrup with a little bit of rose water and then some sparkling soda on top. And it's, you know, what's cool about it is I'm able to use these flavors. And let's say one of our highest selling cocktails at Michelle's, which is one of the concepts I used to run, was an espresso besso. And what I used in it was cardamom, like cardamom bitters, Scrappy's cardamom bitters, you know, and utilizing different Middle Eastern flavors. And people are like, whoa, this is so good. What makes it different? And it's just the cardamom, you know, or like sumac is one of the best things you can use for a rim on a cocktail because it adds that like bright acidity, and it also adds salinity. So I like to do like a spiced espalette, Aleppo, sumac, black salt rim on my cocktails. And also it's like a lot of testing and just trying new things. Like a lot of the times when I'm traveling, I'll go to an international market or just a random market and I'll buy a few vats of different spices. And then anytime
vats.
You should see my spice rack. I probably have like 150 to 200 different spices. And then whenever my friends travel, you know, internationally, they're like, hey, do you want me to bring you back something? I'm just like, bring me some random stuff. So like my friend went to Morocco. He brought me back like 4 different containers like this big of things that was like Moroccan spice number 1. Well, it was like Moroccan spice number 2. And that's just how I have them labeled in my stuff. I can kind of guess what's in it. Like some of them taste more cinnamon driven. Some of them taste more cardamom driven. There's definitely some allspice in there. And It's all just about testing and tasting. And when I didn't go to culinary school, I actually went to get my degree in international studies. I didn't finish, but the reason why I like learning about different cultures is because I think it's the best way to bring us together as a human race.
Judy, I connect with you very much about this spice thing because I do the same thing.
Are
And
you
oh, I do. And what happens is I've been told I'm not allowed to do that anymore because we just like the spices, the collection keeps growing. And we just don't have an, like, you see, we have bottles. So it's either we need to buy another house just for the bottles or I need to buy another house just for the spices. But it's fun because when you find that one little nuance in something, and you start to think about what can I use this with? What kind of food? In this case, when you do that as a bartender, it's like you just went from, I can hit 275 and, I can hit for average, but you just went to a 400 hitter because your customers, your bar clients are going to come and go, I have never had this. What are you putting in this cocktail? This is, you mentioned that antioxidant and I had not heard of that. And I'm thinking, again, that's a game changer for what you're offering above what the general product is on the market today.
Yes. And we have a secret spice syrup, and people are like, why do you call it secret spice? And I'm like, because there's just too many damn spices to name.
And
But
that's sold on your website as well?
it is not. But if somebody wants it, I can send them the recipe. I mean, I'm not, for me, a lot of people like to gatekeep their recipes and they're like, this is mine. But if I wouldn't be able to learn if I didn't learn from other people's recipes. And for me, I believe two things. I believe that sharing your recipe ultimately makes the world a better place. And then also, I also believe that nobody can make your recipe the way you can. So.
No, that's the truth. And you're right. I mean, think about, and I had this conversation quite often with bartenders. I mean, the tiki culture. I mean, literally, bartenders were going in and creating something, and they would just put, like you said, Moroccan spice number one. They would just put a number on the bottle, and nobody knew what was in there. And down the road, people had to try to figure out to deconstruct or reconstruct a cocktail based on what they perceived might have gone in there at the time. So, look, the idea that you're willing to or open to share, here's the thing. At some point, I see a restraining order coming down the pike where you're going to say, Rich, stop bothering me. I got a life. I mean, you're now our mocktail guru on the podcast. We're going to come to you for all things mocktails and low ABV cocktails. But seriously, this is something that I think people want to learn more about. They want to learn more about spices. They want to learn more about how to be more healthy. We've had Holistic Spirits on the podcast, and the vodka and the gin that they make, it's Woody Harrelson's one of the owners. When you think about that, you think of his mindset. But this is what people are gravitating towards right now, right? And that's what they want. So you're providing that, and that's where you're taking the world right now.
I appreciate that. And also it's just like, why not share? And I believe that hospitality starts from like the inside and then to your staff and then to their team and then to the guest, right? And if you aren't willing, or if you think your recipe is too cool to share with somebody, it's probably not that cool. I've had some of the people that are like on World's 50 Best, US 50 Best, where I've had to prepare something for them and they just sent it right away, right? And that to me showcases humility and also community.
All right, I there's some things that are on my mind, and I looked at some of the bar menus that were featured at, you mentioned Michelle's and Gravitas, right? But there's one that stood out to me. There's one drink that stood out to me that if I'm going there, this is the one I'm ordering, and that's where there's smoke, there's fire. And it's served tableside. And I'm thinking, what is this cocktail that, first of all, anything with Bar Hill, anything, we're big fans. There are guests on the podcast, Caldonia Spirits. But what's this serve tableside thing?
So it's presented tableside. And what's funny about that cocktail is it's probably one of my most famous cocktails. And, you know, this kind of goes to show that sometimes you just got to roll with it. Like, I was like, I don't know what the heck I'm going to put on this Gravitas menu. And this was my first menu I ever did there, whatever, almost 4 years ago. And then I was like, well, we're at a Michelin star restaurant. We want to do something table side that blows people away. And, you know, I kept overthinking it. And then I was like, I love Bar Hill Tomcat. I love smoke. I used to be a Girl Scout, so I love like being by the fire. I'm also kind of a pyro. So a lot of my staff say that I'm either burning something down or freezing it. like in a good way. So I threw that together, and the Bar Hill Tomcat, you know, is neutral grain spirit with raw honey. And then just that one, they say raw honey is a botanical, but then it's just juniper. So it's got that balance. And I wanted to showcase it for people who don't typically drink gin, to show them that there are gins that they would typically like. What I like about gin is kind of like a cocktail in itself, right? It's a blend of different botanicals. And I did Spanish vermouth with it, Angostura and Peychaud, and then it just needed one hit of like more smoke, and then also a hit of some herbal notes. So I added Benedictine, and then I also added a little dash of Laphroaig. Like, it's probably like an eighth of an ounce in a whole batch. So then we had a great pastry chef, Asia Momoni, who I showed her this cocktail, and she's like, I can make some whiskey soaked marshmallows for you.
All right. See, what happens is, this is a podcast, so nobody saw my jaw drop. Whiskey soaked marshmallows. I've never heard of that. And I'm thinking, how does the marshmallow not fall apart or get gummy?
She's a magician. I'm not sure. It does eventually, like after 2 or 3 weeks, if you don't like cover it, it'll kind of like dry out. But I know that they are using a good amount of gelatin in it, so it's not vegan. But I'm not sure how she did it.
Whiskey smoke. So you go to the table and you hit it with a little bit of spice, pyro. I understand that too. I gotcha.
Smoke chips after it's stirred and diluted, and then we'll put in the hand cut ice, and the glass is liquid nitro, so it's super cold with that hand cut ice. Then it's poured table side with the smoke, and then we say, last but not least, we have your whiskey marshmallow here. And we recommend that they stir the cocktail with it and then take a little bite of it.
All right. So it's also the smoke chips, it's also smoked in the glass, correct? Wow. I'm just leaving now. And I'm curious. This sounds like one of your favorite cocktails, but were there others or another one that you can say, yeah, this was something, the mad mind of Judy for this?
Yeah, I mean, another cocktail, it took me about 3 years of mental R&D in my head, and mental because I was like, wait, this doesn't sound like it's going to work, but it's called Incognito. So it's non-alcoholic, and I utilized a non-alcoholic spirit and then infused it with a few things that reminded me of like a smoke old fashioned. So I used Lapsang Souchong Chinese smoked black tea, black sesame, za'atar for that like nuttiness and herbalness, pink peppercorn, Szechuan peppercorn for like that kind of like bitter, tangy pepper note that you get when you're drinking whiskey sometimes, ginger, and like some brown sugar, let it sous vide, and then strain that out. Smoke it table side, but also like prior to smoking it, you spray some sesame oil in there to add that depth and flavor.
Wow.
And smoke some star anise as well, because that like kind of bitter anise note rounds it all out. And that was one of my favorites. And then like I always use cold pressed cucumber juice. So I have a few favorites in that aspect, but the one that I'll talk about today, I called it the Green Dragon. So it had a secret spice syrup that had, again, a few blends of peppercorns, Aleppo pepper, espalette, bay leaf. And there's a few other things that I'm missing because the recipe is so long. That with a little bit of chartreuse, Banez Mezcal, pink salt, cold pressed cucumber, and a dash of lemon juice. With that, like a salt rim that I talked about with the Aleppo and Espelette. Light, crisp, refreshing, and it has spice to it, but it's not a spice that overtakes your whole experience. It goes well with food. It's balanced. It's not hot.
I'm just like I'm missing the one component here is the cocktail. I mean, I'm trying to envision this whole experience up until the point where I put it to my lips and I let it coat my mouth and get to swallow and enjoy this, and you just like left me and the listeners hanging, Judy.
Well, I mean, and what it tastes like is it tastes like a fresh, herbaceous mezcal margarita with a hint of that spice towards the end. And then the cucumber like seals it all off. And that salt also, it's a well-rounded experience. And so whenever I'm making a cocktail, I kind of think of it visually and sound-wise. So I think like it needs to have a beginning, middle, end, and then crescendo and finale.
And the hand motions you're making with that, like a wave crossing to the beachhead or something like that.
Yeah.
So what do you, I mean, you've got so much going on with the 2024. We're at the end of 2024, beginning of 2025. Talk about what your year was like and the things you accomplished this last year.
For 2024 or for
Yes. Yeah.
by the end of 2024, my business will be doing a lot of online sales and promotions on different products, things that I do, different juice companies, all while I'm running a $40 million restaurant group.
Wow. And where will people find these cocktails that you're creating this year so they can go find what's coming out of the mind of Judy?
Give me a few months,
All right,
but
keep an eye. Social media, right?
come by in June, in Cleveland, Ohio, to Ethos Restaurant, Ethos Hospitality. So we have multiple concepts, but the ones that a lot of people know are Town Hall. It's a health food concept. So I will be revamping the beverage program there. They have Mandrake Rooftop. There's about eight concepts in total. So that's why I say give me a few months while I kind of spearhead it and change it for the better and really showcase what you can do with healthy cocktails and non-alcoholic drinks as well.
Judy, I'm excited. This is why I am so grateful for the world that what it provides, because I picked up this chilled magazine. You're on page 20. And I said, I want to know more about Judy Elahi and what she's doing. And this is like more, I'm mind blown. I really am. And for those that are in the Cleveland area, you are going to be so lucky. And just, they're going to be knocking down your doors. But more importantly, go to the website and give it to everybody one more time. Start ordering these fresh pressed juices so you can start making these mocktails and these enhanced cocktails. What's that website again?
Freshpressbev.com.
Freshpressbev.com. I will be maxing out my credit card shortly at that website. This has been a treat. Is there anything we haven't talked about on the podcast today? Anything else you want listeners to know about you or the world you're entering in Cleveland, Ohio, or your juice business?
No, I think we've honestly like talked about everything that I think we should. Let's continue to have great communication, and I'm excited to hear more about what you all do and have more podcasts with you and actually maybe send you some of the products that I'm making with my friend.
That would be awesome. And I'm grateful for that. And I don't know. I mean, will you be finding yourself in Tales of the Cocktail this July?
Yes, I've pitched a seminar for unveiling Middle Eastern hospitality. And if they contact me back, I will definitely be there. And if not, I'll be there for a day or two. We do a few Iranian beverage leaders in the country, and I do Sofre So Fresh. So it's showcasing Iranian hospitality. You'll get an invite, obviously, where we have Iranian food, Iranian inspired cocktails at a house, and we make great drinks, great music, and really showcase what Iranian culture is all about in Persian
All right.
culture.
If we don't find our way to meet in person before then, I'm excited to see you down there in New Orleans. And that just sounds delightful. So thank you for that. Judy, thank you. Thanks for being a friend of Fermented Adventure. Thanks for your time today. I know you've got a lot of product there to press and juice and pack and get out to Cleveland, Ohio. Maybe you'll help the Browns actually win something. We'll see. I mean, it happens. I mean, look, the Lions almost made it this year, so we'll see what happens.
Yay, I'm excited. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Thanks, Judy.
All right.
Cheers.
Cheers.